Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 71, The One Simple Trick to Getting Everything You Want in Life and More. All right, here we go.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism, God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, a free market squad in the place to be? Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. I am your host with a hero complex, the high priest of propaganda, Nathan Fraser. You, more importantly, you are a member of the free market squad. Thank you for taking a half hour. I already said thank you. I'll say it again. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. I do appreciate it. We're going to be talking about one simple trick that you can implement in your way of thinking that will help you achieve everything in life that you want to. I know that's a giant claim, and I'm going to back it up. And before we get into that, though, before I reveal what this super esoteric, occult, hidden secret is, I got to give a shout out to Chris and Shrigio over at Truth Frequency Radio Network for picking up and airing the show. Also to Jules over at UCY.TV for rebroadcasting the show. And of course, everybody over at LRN.FM for also picking up the show and helping me spread my propaganda. Everybody that helps get the word out, much love and thank you. And everybody that's been sharing the show lately also, thank you as well. All right. Thank yous out of the way. Let's just jump right into this week's topic. The one simple secret to getting everything out of life that you want and more. So I'm going to start with this parable, and this parable is called the parable of the long spoon. So it says, one day a man said to God, God, I would like to know what heaven and hell are like. So God showed the man two doors. Inside the first door, in the middle of the room, was a large round table with a large pot of stew. It smelled delicious. It made the man's mouth water. But the people that were sitting around the table were all thin and sickly, and they appeared to be famished. And they were holding these spoons that had very long handles, and each one of them found that it was impossible with the spoon to reach into the pot of stew, take a spoonful, and then be able to get it back to their mouth. The handle was longer than their arms, and so they couldn't get the spoons back into their mouths. The man shuddered at the sight of their misery and suffering, and God said, you have just seen hell. Then behind the second door, a room appeared. It looked exactly the same. There was the large table. There was the large pot of wonderful stew that made the man's mouth water sitting in the middle of the table. The people sitting around the table all had long-handled spoons, just like the first people, but they were all well-nourished. They were plump. They were laughing. They were talking. They were having a good time. And the man said, I don't understand. Heaven and hell look exactly the same to me. And God smiled at him and he said, it's simple. Love only requires one skill. These people learned early on to share and feed one another, while the greedy only think of themselves. So the people in hell were reaching into the pot with their long spoons, and then they couldn't get the spoons back to their own mouths because the spoons were too long, longer than their arms. The people in heaven were reaching into the pot, scooping out stew with their long spoons, and instead of trying to feed themselves, they were feeding the people, two or three people next to them, and they were all feeding each other, and they were all looking out for each other, and they were all happy, plump, and full of joy. And that is that is this week's episode. That is the one simple trick to get everything that you want out of life and more. Probably sounds too simple. So I want you to remember this parable as we're talking our way through, or as I'm talking and you're listening your way through this entire episode. So I'm going to take a second and I'm going to kind of pivot and go into current events. This Week in Tyranny. So all this craziness going on in Charlottesville and just all over the United States right now. Just people at each other's throats, man. And it's insane. And it's like, you got to choose between democratic socialism or national socialism. Those are the only two options. And to me, I'm like, yeah, those are both two sides of the same coin. And I'm not really hip to that socialist coin. But either way, there seems to be this big divide, at least if you pay attention to the news or to Facebook. If you go out into the regular everyday world, it doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. But according to these crazy activists out there, and I don't say crazy lightly. People have called me crazy, but if I'm calling them crazy, you know there's something wrong. These activists out there are just so concerned about their own freedom, their own livelihoods, and just completely ignorant and completely apathetic or empathetic, that's the word, to the lives and to the freedoms of other people. And this is the deal. You can't have freedom unless your neighbors are free. You can't have freedom unless you're willing to provide freedom to other people. And even inside of the truth movement and the freedom movement, so many people are like, oh, it's my freedom. It's the my freedom movement. It's not the freedom movement. It's the my freedom movement. I care about my freedom. I care about the freedom of people that look like me or think like me, but I don't care about the freedom for people who don't look like me or who don't think like me. And what it comes down to is basically, that pot of stew is freedom. And if you're only trying to get your own freedom and you're not focused on trying to preserve the freedom of your neighbors, preserve the freedom of people who don't look like you, preserve the freedom of people who don't think like you, who don't dress like you, then you're not going to have freedom either. You can't have freedom unless your neighbors are free. Just like the people in hell couldn't have stew because all they were focused on was their own stew and they weren't focused on making sure that their neighbors had stew. They weren't able to have stew either, but the people in heaven were focused on making sure that their neighbors had stew, and therefore they were able to have stew as well. You can't have freedom unless your neighbors are free. So if you want freedom, you need to make sure that you're fighting for the freedom of people that you oppose. So what do I mean by that? So we got like these two major groups, like the radical left-wing people, Antifa and social justice warriors. These people are absolutely against freedom of speech for anybody other than themselves. And you can see this on YouTube. They're constantly shutting down people's YouTube channels, reporting people's YouTube channels. Google just had the memo the Google memo that leaked last week where a kid, for saying stuff that was completely scientific and completely sound and completely rational and trying to increase inclusivity by being honest about things, he gets fired because it hurt the feelings of the SJW social justice warrior people that run Google. Same thing with YouTube. They're trying to push anything that's not pro-social justice, pro-progressive, pro-liberal Democrat, any kind of message that doesn't conform to that, YouTube's demonetizing, they're deplatforming people. You see these social justice warriors, when anybody goes to a college to do a speaking engagement, they go and burn shit down. They go and throw trash cans through windows, like total insanity. They care. They want to be able to speak their minds. They want to be able to say how they feel about things, but absolutely zero interest in preserving the free speech of people that they disagree with. And by doing this, by allowing the government to regulate what's allowed to be said, or by incentivizing big companies to start start encroaching on the freedom of speech of people, it's going to come back and bite them in the ass, because every power that you grant an authority figure that you agree with will also be granted to authority figures that you disagree with once they come into power. So it's a slippery slope, and it's totally counterproductive. If you want free speech for yourself, you have to provide free speech for people that you disagree with. I don't care. like, there's people that I would never try and shut down an SJW's channel. I would never try and shut down on the other end, neo-Nazis channel. I mean, I vehemently disagree with both of them, but I'm more than willing to let them say whatever they want to say, as long as they're not infringing on the rights of other people. And having your feelings hurt because something that somebody else said didn't make you feel all warm and fuzzy is not an encroachment on your rights. So SJWs out there, Antifa out there, if you want freedom of speech, you have to fight for the freedom of speech of others. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself without freedom of speech as well. And it's not just on the left end of the paradigm. The white nationalists on the extreme right end of the paradigm are just as guilty of this. And even some of the quote-unquote conservatives that aren't quite as far fringes as the white nationalists are, or even some of the like right-leaning libertarians, when it comes to freedom of travel. So I want you to imagine this. If you're one of those people, I bring up the border and freedom of travel. I'm a no borders guy. I'm absolutely against the idea of borders. But some people, and this is the thing, I understand where people's concerns are. You don't want, we got the Freedom Club and we don't want non-freedom thinking people coming into our clubhouse. I get that. But here's the deal. Imagine Donald Trump does build a wall. Imagine he builds one on the north and the south. And imagine that it's so big and so deep that nobody can get around it. And then 4 years from now or 8 years from now, Bernie Sanders gets into office and we go straight up democratic socialists. And now every business is getting confiscated by the government. Everybody with any amount of wealth over the poverty line is having everything that they've earned and worked hard for stolen from them. And people who are pro-capitalist like myself start getting executed in the middle of the street or taken off to work camps and death camps. And now all of a sudden borders are a really stupid idea because I want to GTFO get that F out of here. So I want to be able to have the freedom to leave. If my country starts going to hell in a handbasket, I want to be able to leave, and I don't want to have to jump through a bunch of bureaucratical hoops to get out. I don't want to have to dig my way under a giant wall to get out. I don't want to have to crawl through barbed wired fences like most socialist regimes use to keep their people inside. I don't want to have to scale the Berlin Wall to get out. I want to be able to leave. I want freedom of travel, which means if there's people in other countries that their country has gone to crap, and as long as they're willing to come here and assimilate, I don't, you know, and as long as they're not coming to just mooch off the welfare system, as long as they're not coming to come over here and try and force the bad ideas that ruined their country, trying to bring them over here and force them on us, the bad religious or economic or whatever ideas have made their country a hellhole, as long as they're not trying to come over here and force those onto us, I'm more than willing to welcome anybody here. And as long as you're willing to work, and as long as it's not just a welfare state that we end up turning into, then I see no need for borders. I see no need for immigration laws. Now, how do we pick and choose who is who? That's a questionable thing. I think there does need to be some sort of way to say, you know, this is the type of situation you're moving into. You need to be able to assimilate. But I really think just getting rid of the welfare state, the welfare system in general, just handing out free money to people that move here, that would eliminate a lot of the people that would not be willing to assimilate anyways, because you got to get a job, you got to start a business, you got to produce, you got to contribute. That's going to only be appealing to the type of people that I want to be surrounded with anyways. The point of the matter is, I lean more right on a lot of issues and I lean left on a couple of issues. But even the ones where I lean left, I'm all for securing the freedoms of the people that disagree with me on the right. And the ones where I lean more right, I'm all for securing the freedom of the people that lean against me on the left. The fact is I understand I can't have freedom unless my neighbors have freedom. And that is a huge lesson that seems to be completely lost on Antifa and the social justice warriors and the alt-right and the white nationalists out there. You're fighting against your own freedom by fighting against the freedoms of others. A simple trick to get everything you want in life. Make sure that you're providing what you want for others. Make sure that you're providing what others want. And that's the best way to get what you want out of life. So why do people start businesses? That's the majority of the people that listen to this show don't really care about my politics. They listen because I drop value bombs of business knowledge. Why do people start businesses? Most people start businesses for very selfish reasons. Most people, when they start a business, it's because they want passive income or they want a laptop lifestyle. I want to be able to work on the beach. I want to be able to travel the world and still have my passive income coming in. I want to be able to drive a fancy car and have everybody admire me. I want to prove everybody wrong. I want to work on my schedule. I want to be my own boss. I want to be filthy rich. All these different reasons about why people want to become entrepreneurs or think that it's a good idea for them to become an entrepreneur. And they're all selfish. They're all self-centered. They're all about what I want. What am I going to get out of becoming an entrepreneur? What am I going to get out of becoming a business owner? Why do I want to start a business? I remember when I was a kid and people would say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I really wanted to be a comic book artist. So I thought that would be the bee's knees. Then later on in life, I wanted to be a rap star. And still today, people say, well, I want to be this, or I want to get paid to do this, or I want to sell this. I have so many people that hit me up on Facebook messages or email or other ways to get a hold of me. And they say, well, I'm trying to start a business. I want to do this. I want to sell this. I want to be this. I want to get paid to do this. And it's totally the wrong way to start a business. I want to be a rapper. I want to get paid to do rap music. I want to sell my CDs. I'm speaking from personal experience. I'm beating up on myself here. I'm not trying to bring you down, the listener, but this is me when I was a younger kid. I want to be a rapper. Okay, well, that's not the real question. The real question is, the people that are going to make you a successful rapper, what do they want? They want to be entertained. So instead of saying, I want to be a rapper, you need to understand that you need to be an entertainer. The people that are going to listen to the rap that you want, the people that are going to listen to the rap music that you want to make, they're going to want to listen to it for a specific reason. So you have to mold your own selfish desires to fit the selfish desires of other people. If you want to get paid to do something, there needs to be people who want that something so much that they're willing to pay people to do it. I want to get paid to watch TV all day. Well, you better find somebody who needs somebody to watch TV all day. Otherwise, you're not going to get paid for that. I want to get paid to sleep all day. Well, you better go find a job at a mattress testing factory, because that's pretty much the only, or maybe testing some scientists are maybe monitoring dreams. I don't know. Somebody might be willing to pay you for that. But if there's not a large demand for it, you're not going to get paid to do it. If whatever it is that you want to sell, and the only reason you want to sell it is because I'm creative and I want to sell my creativity, you better find some people that want to buy your creativity. You better find some people that, and you better find out why they would want to buy your creativity. If it's all about you, if it's all about what you want, and your first question isn't what do other people want, then you're never going to be successful. You're never going to achieve what you actually want. A real entrepreneur, a real successful business owner, instead of saying, I want to be a dot, 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 I want to get paid to dot, 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 I want to sell dot, dot, dot. A real entrepreneur says, I want to solve X problem for people. I want to solve this problem for people. That's what a real entrepreneur wants. So To be successful, to get everything that you want out of business ownership, out of the entrepreneur lifestyle, you have to stop being selfish. You have to start asking yourself, what do other people want? It needs to not be revolving about around you and your wants and your desires. In order to have a successful business, the first question that you have to answer is, what do other people want? Yeah, it's good to have in mind, why do I want this business? What's the goal of having this business? What do I need this business to do for me? Yeah, those are all good, valid questions that you should be asking, but you're never going to get to that point if your first question isn't, what does my business mean to other people? What does my business do for other people? What does my business provide? What problem does my business solve for other people? If you can't answer that question, you're not going to know how to market your business. You're not going to know what your target audience is. You're not going to know how to write sales copy for your business. Your business is going to go nowhere. So if you're starting a business and your only goal is, I'm trying to figure out how to get rich quick so that I can make money in my sleep, so that I can make money when I'm at the beach, so that I can make money when I'm traveling the world, you are going to fail, and you're going to fail miserably, and you fucking deserve it. Okay, that's my rant. Zig Ziglar said, you can have everything in life that you want if you will just help other people get what they want. And that is so true. Most people that are chasing the entrepreneurial lifestyle, they never even think about that. They're so absorbed with their own wants, their own needs. And even if they do understand that in order to get what they want, they need to find out what other people want and give them what they want. How do you find that out? How do you know what other people want? How do you find out what other people want so that you can provide it to them? Well, there's a couple different ways. There's one way that is called eating your own dog food. And this is basically when you create a solution for yourself and then realize that there's a market for that solution. So say you work in a particular industry, you have a problem that there's, you know, you and a lot of other people in this industry have an inconvenience, or there might be a better way to do something, but nobody's come up with it yet. And you invent it. You figure out a faster, cheaper, easier way to accomplish something that's frustrating to you and your industry and a lot of the other people in your industry. And you realize, hey, this works for me. You let some other people know about it. They end up liking it. Other people come to you and say, hey, can you help me do the same thing? And voila, you've got a business. And that can only happen if you're actually out there working. So a lot of these people that say, oh, I'm not going to work, I'm just going to start up a business. Having a job, having a career, having some sort of work experience is actually one of the best ways that you can start a business. So if you think you can just skip past the hard work phase and straight into entrepreneurship, I got some news for you. So that's eating your own dog food. That's kind of what Podcast Blastoff was. I was a podcaster. I needed something that could host my podcast files, also provide me with a website at the same time. I didn't want to have to do all the crazy work of creating a podcast website. So I figured out a way to easily create podcast websites. I had a couple clients. I had two different podcasting clients. They also wanted websites. We said, okay, well, this worked for my podcast. Let's see if it works for yours. Now we've got a bunch of podcasters using Podcast Blastoff. So it's a problem that I solved for myself. I solved for a couple of my clients, and now we have a bunch of customers. Same thing with copywriting and marketing. I needed to learn how to market and copyright for Podcast Blastoff, as well as previous ventures that I ran into the dirt. But I solved my own problem. I figured out, how do I write compelling copy? How do I set up marketing systems that get people to want to purchase my service or my product? And it works for us. And then other people said, hey, do you think maybe you could help me do the same thing? I'm struggling getting leads. I'm struggling turning those leads into customers. Can you maybe help me out with that? I said, yeah, I can teach you what I've done. I can do it for you. And that turned into another business. So now I have two businesses, both of them profitable, both of them based off of solving my own problem and taking my solution to other people with a similar problem. That's called eating your own dog food. If you can solve a problem for yourself, and probably there's other people out there looking for the same solution, usually inside of your own industry, you can go out and take that solution and sell it to other people. The other way is survey selling. This is actually, it's kind of like a shortcut. It's a way to solve a problem for an industry that maybe you're not in. So maybe you're not a dentist or a chiropractor, but those people also have problems. So what you do is you survey them. You go to five different dentists and you say, hey, what's the biggest problem that you have in your practice? Or five different chiropractors or 20 different chiropractors. And you ask them, what's the biggest pain point that you're dealing with? And you find some sort of consensus. Then you go back to them and say, hey, everybody seems to agree that this is the problem. What would, if we could come up with a solution for this, what would that solution need to do? And you find out, what do they need? What, how, because they're so busy dealing with their business, they don't have time to stop and think about how to solve the problem. So you figure out how to solve that problem for them. Then you come back and say, hey, I've come up with the solution. How much would this be worth? If I put my time into producing this, how much would you pay for this solution? You get 15 out of the 20 to pay for you for it up front in advance. And voila, you've got a new business. So here's the deal. Whatever it is that you want out of life, if you want freedom, if you want success, if you want riches, whatever it is that you want out of life, the only way that you're going to get it is to make sure that you're helping other people get what they want out of life. If you want more freedom, you need to secure the freedom of other people. If you want success, you need to find out what other people want. You need to bring that to other people, and that's the way that you will attain success. All right, deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Okay, this is a bonus just for the subscribers and the podcast listeners. It's not going to air live. So I'm going to real quick read something that's a point that I wish I would have been able to get into the half hour show, but I wasn't able to. So Gary Halbert, who's just probably hands down one of the greatest copywriters ever, has the Halbert letter, the coat of arms letter, one of the most successful direct response pieces of mailing advertising that ever existed. And he used to send out these things called the Halbert letters, and he would tell different lessons. And one of the lessons that he would tell, or that he told in one of them, it's called the one advantage. And this is just profound, and it perfectly complements today's episode. So I wanted to get into it. So Gary said that he would teach classes on marketing and copywriting. And in these classes, he would often ask people, he would ask his students a simple question. If you and I both owned a hamburger stand and we were in a contest to see who could sell the most hamburgers, what advantage would you most like to have on your side to help you win? And he said the answers would vary. Some of the students would say they would like to have the advantage of having superior meat from which to make their hamburgers. Our beef is 100% Angus or grass-fed cattle or whatever the case may be. Others said that they would like sesame seeded buns. Some would mention they'd like to be able to choose their location. Some would say they would like to be able to offer lower prices, a bunch of different advantages that people would list off. The amount of different advantages was innumerable that people would come up with. And Gary said, whatever the case, the students, after they finished telling him what advantage they would most like to have, he would usually say something like this to them. Okay, I'll give you every single advantage that you ask for. I'll let you have lower prices. I'll let you pick your location. I'll let you have Angus, 100% pure Angus beef from grass-fed cows. I myself only want one advantage. And if you give it to me, I will, when it comes to selling hamburgers at least, whip the pants off of you every single time. What advantage do you want? They would ask. And he would say, the only advantage that I want is a starving crowd. And that's what it really comes down to. It doesn't matter how much you want to be a successful business owner. a successful chef, a successful restaurant owner, if you don't have a starving crowd, if you're not concerned with is the crowd that I'm trying to feed even hungry for what I'm trying to sell, you will not succeed. You need to put the needs of other people first in order to meet your own needs. All right. I'm out of here. Free Market Squad. Faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. Check out my website, NathanFrazierShow.com. That's the home of the podcast. Check out my other website, FreeMarketSquad.com. That's where I can help you with your business. All right. I'm out of here. Deuces.